Starting a new series this morning called Led by the Spirit. Let's all say that together. Led by the Spirit. And if you guys are wondering what's going on in the middle of the sanctuary, we are streaming live right now our sermon for the first time ever. We're finally embracing technology. 2018, we're going live. So anybody that's logging in, bless you. We hope that you're blessed this morning. And thank you. If you watch it later, bless you later. Amen. Going to be in Ephesians 5 this morning and looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And again, we're continuing to lay groundwork for our small groups launch, which will be early 2019. So really just continue to lay some groundwork here. So Galatians 5, if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to be in starting verse 18. And as I was speaking to someone the other day, I'm like, I don't like reading just two verses and not reading like a little bit around it. It just drives me crazy. We need a little context. Amen. So we're going to go to verse 18. Y'all there? Good. So it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, Paul says. But those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We don't dare in church anymore, do we? Let's keep reading. It gets better. But, everybody say but. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's say it with me, church. We all know it, I hope. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Okay, church, just pause really briefly here. You know why there's no law against those things? Because those things will cause us to operate above the law. Amen. So when I was in Bible school, my professor, he talked about the law, and he says, the law is like a safety net for me. Anybody ever have a bad day as a Christian? Right? So he says, look, if I'm off a little bit, if I'm off the rails a little bit, he says, you know, I'm just having a real bad day and I'm not feeling particularly spiritual. The law is a safety net. I know that I can't murder folks. Even if I want to, can't do that, right? So do you understand, church? I taught several weeks ago on the law, and you guys can go back and look at that. But look, the reason that if we operate in those nine things are operating in our lives, the law, there is no law against, because we're above the law. You understand? We're automatically fulfilling the core principles of the law. Amen? Verse 24, now, those who belong to Christ Jesus will have rainbows and butterflies and unicorns just prancing around them 24/7. Dude, you guys got the wrong verse up there. What are you doing back there, man? Come on. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Church, I'm just going to preach a little bit this morning. I'm not going to get through my notes, so just hang on, all right? So listen, I was with some men from Turning Point recently. If anybody from Turning Point logs on, hey guys, what's up? But Turning Point, and over in Bristol, drug and alcohol rehab, Christian-based program. And I was sharing with those guys, we were talking about the seed in the soil, that parable, right? Jesus says the seed falls on the roadside, seed falls on rocky ground, seed falls on thorns, and seed falls on good ground, right? So think about this. When Jesus explains that parable, he says, look, there's only the first ones are the ones that the devil gets in and steals the seed. When the seed falls on rocky ground, seed falls on the thorns, the devil's not the one who messes those seeds up. So if there's four groups of folks and three groups of those four, 75% of those people, if we just do some basic math this morning, if 75% of the people that receive the word of God, it doesn't do anything, only one third of that group, because there's three groups, right, that it don't work, amen, only one third of those groups can actually blame the devil for it. The other two folks, 66%, if you're following my math this morning, you can't blame the devil. I've got to blame what Paul's talking about here, my flesh. Paul says elsewhere, church, he does not say that the devil wars against my spirit. He says that say it with me, church, flesh wars against my spirit and my spirit against my flesh, right? Now, the devil, our flesh is his playground, amen, but I can't blame him. I've got to deal with my flesh, amen? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Verse 25, let us not become boastful. Look at this church, challenging one another and envying one another. Amen. Right? So let me just got to do some teaching here just a little bit, and we'll hopefully get to a good spot to wrap it up for this morning. So when it says that those who are led by the Spirit, right, the Greek word for led means to lead, to bring, or to carry. And I'm just going to be honest about myself, and I think we could all identify with this. That we tend to think, so like in Romans 8, it says that the Holy Spirit will help your weaknesses, right? We all know that? It's 8, like 28, I think. The Holy Spirit will help our weaknesses. But you know what was funny in the Greek word there, church, is it's not plural. The Greek word is not plural. There are plural Greek words, but the Greek word there is not plural, it's singular. So actually the proper translation would be the Holy Spirit helps our weakness. The word is asthenes in the Greek. It means without strength, right? And the reason it's important so like King James says weaknesses right there, but like New American Standard says weakness, okay? The reason it's important because this is it's subtle psychology in our heads, right? Because if we think there's just weaknesses, that means that I've got a few areas of my life that need a little help, but I'm really, really good other than that. Like, you know, like, God, I got this. I'm doing great. I need a little bit of help just once in a while if I'm having a real bad day. But that's not what Paul's trying to get us to understand, church. Paul's saying you need help 24/7. Right, there is no good thing that dwells in you in your flesh. Right, there is something good that dwells in me if I'm saved. It's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you understand, church, it's not like we commit something on the list versus someone who practices something on that list. Has anybody, since you got saved, ever done something you shouldn't have done? Right? Probably yesterday, maybe even this morning. Amen. Hopefully not within the last hour and a half, because we're in church. We're supposed to be good in church. Amen. Right? But come on, church. We've all, I don't care you've been a Christian for 10 minutes or 100 years, man. There are times that we go through ups and downs, and whether it's our fault or not our fault, we do things that we go, man, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. Amen. Right? So this is not what Paul's talking about here. All right? I went through a season about a year and a half ago where there was such jealousy in my heart towards another ministry in our state that was growing really rapidly. And I thought to myself, what the heck am I doing wrong? Why is this guy's church growing like crazy and mine's not? Just to be straight. Come on. And I was fighting it, and I know it's wrong, and we can't, if you compare yourselves amongst yourselves, you're a fool. Amen. The Bible says that, right? So I know this stuff, but there was a real war going on in my flesh trying to get me to compare myself to this guy. And finally God says, you don't pastor that church, and you're not that guy. How about you let him do what I told him to do, and you do what I told you to do? Mind your own business. Praise God. Doesn't that feel fluffy? Yes. So search, one who has surrendered their heart to Jesus and given their life to him may still commit something on this list. We may still sin. We talked about this, I think, two Sundays ago. If we sin, John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You guys remember what advocate meant? You guys remember that? One who speaks well in public of someone else. What? So that means every time that I do sin, it doesn't say when I sin, it's not permission to do it, it's a concession for if I do. The Bible says, church, no matter what I think, no matter what somebody else might say to me, even if they're a brother or sister in Christ, even if they're a leader in the church, it doesn't matter what they say, the Bible says that if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He stands in the courts of heaven and says good things about me. Wow. You know, right after I preached that, I had a whole week of fighting off lies that were trying to get that truth out of my spirit. Come on, man. What happens if you do something wrong? Do you feel like, yes, man, is the first thought in your head is Jesus is saying good things about me right now? Probably not. But that's what the Bible says. Wow. Amen. So, hang on, I lost my spot. So one who's truly surrendered their heart to Jesus and has committed their life to live and honor him can still sin. We still have the ability to sin. Is that true? For sure, right? We should get better, right? So someone who's truly received Jesus, though, when they sin or if they sin, you know what we're going to experience, church, is called conviction. We don't hear that in church anymore today. You know, because you know why? People throw Romans 8:1 out. Oh, no, Pastor, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I didn't say condemnation, I said conviction. Condemnation is eternal damnation. It's an eternal consequence for what I did. There is no more of that in Jesus. Right? It doesn't say there's not conviction. As a matter of fact, if you know Jesus, conviction gets cranked up a little bit. Can I get amen? Guess what? The more you want to be like Jesus, the more conviction you get to experience. Doesn't that sound fun? Praise God. Sign me up. Yep. So there's conviction, church, is a feeling or sense of correction that arises inside of you. Come on, man. Am I talking to anybody? It's here, man. You just go, oh my gosh, right? Especially if you, something you used to do and you forget. See, what happens, one of the ways the devil tricks us, man, I am definitely not getting through my notes this morning. One of the ways the devil tricks us, church, is he brings something in from our past and we remember how fun it was, but we don't remember all the pain associated with it. We remember going out to the club, but we don't remember, you know, worshiping at the white porcelain throne the next morning. Right? We remember having, you know, those one-night flings, but we don't remember crying for weeks afterwards because we're so broken. Come on, man. Look, so what's going on? Conviction, man. Conviction is going to remind you when you're tempted to do something you used to do that looked fun. You remember how fun it was, but you don't remember all the pain and all the shame that was associated with it. Amen, church? And that conviction is God saying, no, remember. See that. Come on. It looks all right now, but it ain't gonna work out good. Right? That's conviction, church. We need to respond to conviction. Can I get amen on that? In contrast, the one who practices things on this list, and one of the things Paul says at the end of the list, and things like these. Paul's saying, you know what he's saying? This list could be a lot longer, but I'm saving some ink. Right? It's a pretty extensive list already. And then he says, and things like this. And you're like, uh-oh. Oh. Man. See, the person that practices those kinds of things, this is the person, I'm just going to be real straight with y'all this morning. This is the person who comes to church and they raise their hands in worship and all kinds of things and are living life that is not Christian. And they don't care. I'm not talking about someone who struggles, someone who backslides and spends some time out doing what they're going to do. Come on, man. The Bible says God is married to the backslider. Can I get amen on that, right? Church, we've got to understand some, but I'm talking about the person who is intentionally deceitful about what they're doing in their life, right? They're a wolf in sheep's clothing, man. This is what Paul's talking about. Somebody who is saying, I love Jesus and I'm going to sleep with people I'm not married to. And you can't tell me it's wrong. That's immorality. It's the first one on the list. It's sexual immorality. So any sexual activity outside of the covenant of a heterosexual marriage fits into that one. Can I get amen on that, church? Pornography, any type of, there's kids here, so I'll just stop right there. Praise God. You guys can use your imagination for the rest of it, all right? But look, the first three words there, immorality, impurity, and sensuality, those are all sexual things, church, right? Paul says, not saying, he doesn't say, I struggle with this. I'm wrestling with this. I'm trying to overcome it. He's saying this is someone who's given themselves to this, claims faith in Christ, and says, I'm going to live this way, and you can't tell me it's wrong. That's the one who practices these things. Do you see it? Yeah? So one more thing, just while we're on the topic. Church, this is what it looks like to be convicted, all right? If I'm convicted in my heart, and I've done this, still do it, we need to do this a lot more in church today. Amen. If there's something in your heart you get convicted about, how you know somebody's really getting right with Jesus is that they will do anything they got to do, and they will go to anywhere they got to go to get it right. Can I get amen? The Bible says if we confess our sin to one another, God is faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us. Amen. Come on, man. If you got something wrong in your life, get with somebody and just say, man, look, I'm tired of this. I don't want this in my life anymore. And if that person you're talking to has got an ounce of Holy Ghost in them, they're going to say, man, I'm with you. I got you. We'll help you out. You're going to get over it. Right? Is that good, church? You ready to get into the fruit? Fruit of the Spirit? Yeah? One person. Praise God. Maybe somebody online is ready. Amen. So, guys, the first one on that list is love. Everybody say love. Say it like deep and stretch it out like love. Yeah. Doesn't that feel good? Right? So the Greek word, church, is agape. Everybody say agape. How many people have been in church and have heard the word agape before? Right? So what we got going on in church today, y'all, is we call sloppy agape. Sloppy agape. Anybody heard that? Right? So look at agape love. Let me just touch on some definitions and some concepts of agape love. Agape love doesn't mean I let people do whatever they want. That is not love. Man, lying to somebody because you don't want to hurt their feelings is not love. Unless it's your wife and she asks you how she looks in that dress. Then, look it, I'm giving you permission just one time, man. All right, just once. Baby, you look as hot as the day I met you. I don't know how to, but I've been married a long time. I still don't know how to answer that question. Baby, looks great. You look great in everything. That don't even work. I don't even know. I don't know what to say, man. I'm so confused. I don't know what we're supposed to do. We need to have a men's group and talk about it. I don't know. The Greek word here, church, as I said a moment ago, is agape, right? Which most of us have heard, but I noticed something so interesting. I've never seen this before studying this. I've taught this so many times, studied it extensively. But you know what I realized the other day? I was looking in the Greek language, the Greek origins and stuff. Agape, church, is not actually the original Greek word. It's not the root word. Agape is actually built off of another Greek word. And the Greek word that agape is built off of is called agapeo. It's got an O on the end. Agapeo. And the difference in those two words is that agape is effectively like a noun, right? So that's what's here in this passage for this period. It's a noun. Agape, love is agape. It's like a noun. But agapeo, the root word, you can look this up if you don't believe me. Agapeo, church, is actually really is a verb. So if we think about it, you're like, some of you are probably like, why is this important? If it's important because what we've got to understand is that to understand words, right, we're Bible study on Tuesday nights is the power of our words, amen. Some of you new with us, if you're online this morning, what's funny about my life is that in school, I could not stand English class, man. I was snoring all the time, all right? I don't like reading. I don't like words. I like talking. I don't like none of that other stuff, though. And it's funny that now I'm doing it for a living. Praise God. Amen. God's funny, ain't he? Be careful what you tell God you're not going to do. So, agape o is, here we see it like this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Agape o. So if agape is built off of a word that's a verb, that means that I cannot agape love my brother and not do nothing for him. I can't agape this guy and never be available for him. I can't agape this guy and then I get a phone call and say, hey, man, I need some help, and say, sorry, bro, can't make it. Now, I mean, church, maybe sometimes I legitimately can't make it, but can I get an amen? Look at what our culture is doing right now. Do you know what our culture is doing, man? Look, we were talking with some leaders this morning. The devil, look, I said to someone the other day, if the devil showed up at your front door in red with a red jumpsuit and horns and a pitchfork, you'd hit him with a frying pan. Man, come on. And he knows it, church. Look it. The devil is deceptive. The Bible calls him wily, man. It's like Wile E. Coyote, except he doesn't blow himself up every time. All right? If you don't know what that is, you're too young. Amen. You got to look up some real cartoons, not this weird stuff on TV now, man. Look up some Looney Tunes, all right? You'll know what I'm talking about. But look, church, do you understand what I'm saying, right? Wily, what that means is that it means that I have a wisdom, but it's an evil wisdom. That's what wily means. I'm cunning. I'm sneaky. So look. What the devil, you know what the other thing the devil is really patient. He's not as patient as God, not even close, but he's still patient. He knows, I'm just going to, little subtle, get in here, and so you know what he's done with our culture? Just think about this. Those of you who have been around a little bit, just think back of 10 years in your brain for just a few seconds, and think of what our culture has done in 10 years. Between the moral decline, and then really the big thing, church, is look at how hard you all have to work now to make a living. Amen. Man, if you're not working like 60 hours a week right now, man, tell us what you're doing, because we all need to come work there. Can I get amen? It's called busyness, y'all. And when we say, oh, I'm just so busy, I'm so busy. And we become addicted to being stressed out and being busy because we get some kind of value out of it, right? If I'm busy, 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 see, look at how much I'm accomplishing with this. The lie, church, is that you are busy and accomplishing nothing. You're just busy. Can I get amen? Yeah. And God's saying, look, we got to slow down because it's right into the church. Hey, man, can you help us out of the church? Man, pastor, I would love to. And that's an honest answer. I think 99% of the time, that's an honest answer. Pastor, I would love to, but I'm too busy. I'm too busy, pastor. Too busy. Church is everywhere, man. It's not just our church. It is everywhere, man. We got this thing invading our culture, and we're too busy. I was trying to remember how we got all the way over there. Praise God, I did. Amen. Right? So what this busyness is doing to us, church, is it's affecting our ability to agapeo people. It's affecting our ability to agapeo God. Amen. How many Christians, I'll admit it, I've done it for sure, but how many folks say, man, I love God? Okay, but bro, we're going to look at scriptures the next few weeks that I'm going to prove this to you. This is in the Bible. You know what God expects out of us, church, is that if we claim to love God, then there needs to be some actions backing it up. It's in the Bible. Amen. So many Christians, church, and I'm telling you, I'm not, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is not people. I'm telling you, there's a spiritual climate that has slowly and subtly come in and hovered into the church, all across America, man, and we don't see it. Can I get amen? We're so swamped, man. We think, man, if I don't work 90 hours a week, they're going to fire me. And then what happens, because we're working 90 hours, we got kids at home. Now we feel bad because we got no spend no time with our kids. So now we got to go to T-ball with little Johnny on Sunday morning because that's the only time we're not working. Man, you know what? Man, praise God. Take little Johnny to T-ball, bro. But why on Sunday morning, for crying out loud? Do you see it, church? I'm preaching good this morning. I know I am. I'm having fun. I'm almost done. Praise God. Do you see? You guys are like, yeah, I agree with that. Amen. God so loved the world. God agape owed the world that he gave. So church, look, there is the primary way that we can define the love that we see from God. God's love is a giving love, right? And I want to make something very, very clear before we are done this morning. This, look it, if you are not saved and allowing the Spirit of God to bear fruit in your heart, you cannot do this. I don't care how nice folks are. I don't care how giving and generous they are. If they don't know Jesus and they do not have the Holy Spirit in their life, they do not have agape-o flowing through them, because it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, church, look, just because somebody you want to witness to seems nice doesn't mean that they're saved. I've met lots of folks that are crazy, that are nice, and I've met lots of folks that are Christians that are mean. Can I get amen, right? Yeah. You see it, this is a super, I love Francis Chan says it like this. He says, look, this love that we see in the Bible should be this supernatural, incredible, unbreakable force that is just mashing us together. And there's not a devil on earth, there's not a devil in hell that can mess that thing up. But look at church today, man. People are all over the place. We get offended by everything. And we are bouncing in and out of churches like crazy. And God, and as men, and then we're saying, hey, man, you want to come to church? And they show up to church and they watch what we do. And they're like, I don't need that. I got enough trouble in my own life. Man, look at the, one of the key scriptures we're going to use for this whole, even the small groups launch is, look at the world will know, or men will know, that you are my disciples by your love for one another. John 13:35, if you want to write it down, it's not in my notes. You know what's interesting? That word is, guess what that word is, church? Love is agape, right? By your love for one another. But back up one verse. I never knew this. These were two were together. Jesus, back up one verse. Jesus says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The old covenant, church, says love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we got lots of folks that don't even like themselves, so how are they going to love somebody else? Right? If I got to love you like I love me, and I don't really like me all that much, the standards are all over the map. But Jesus comes in and says, look, that's a good commandment, but I'm giving you a new one. You got to love somebody like I do. And you're not in that verse, which is 34. Guess what? Agapeo, 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 all three times. Action. Got to do something. Got to do something. Yeah? Last verse right here, then I'm done. 1 John 4:19-21. I love this. This is such a powerful verse right here, a couple verses. Just really backs up the point I was just making about this kind of love only comes from God. Amen? Muslims don't have it. Buddhists don't have it. Hindus don't have it. Amen? Verse 19, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because, what's it say, church? He first, guess what the word is? Agapeo. How did God love us? Sent his only begotten son. Look, this kind of love, church, is not emotional. I watched a preacher yesterday on Facebook, and he said it's a love of the will. It's not emotional. It's not reciprocal, right? Like phileo love, we'll see if we get there at some point. Phileo love is reciprocal, right? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, amen? That love means I give something, I get something back, and that's okay. But that's not agape. Agape says, I'm deciding to love you no matter what you've done or haven't done. I don't get nothing back. It don't matter. I'm not trying to get something. I don't need nothing from you. I'm giving it to you no matter what you do. Amen, church? That's the kind of love that the church got to be built on right there. Amen? We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, agapeo, and hates his brother, look at it, church. He is a liar. For the one who does not agapeo his brother, whom he has seen, cannot agapeo God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who agapeos God should also agapeo his brother. It's agapeo every single time right there. Last little nugget, let's stand up. I just want to just take this home with you, man. If you look up the number of times that agape is used in the New Testament versus agapeo is used almost 30 times more than agape. Do you understand? So agape shows up like 116 times, I think, if I remember. Agapeo is almost 150 times. So this word love, we hear agape in church all the time. We don't hear about agapeo ever. Yeah, anybody ever heard a sermon about agapeo? Till right now? Praise God, right? But this is the word that they use. It's got action to it. You got to do something to show that this love is going on in your heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time this morning. Again, I thank you for the testimonies we heard and encouragement from different folks. Lord, I pray for all the new people that are with us this morning. Just hope they were blessed and encouraged and challenged, Lord, to say, you know what, I can be better. There is something powerful in me, and I want to let that thing out. I want to live led by the Spirit. I want to have this agapeo flowing out of me every day, all day long. Lord, we pray for anybody that will see this stream this morning that's with us now, anybody that will see it later on. Just pray that you bless them, God. Thank you for just letting this video even make it to them. I pray that they would be encouraged and helped in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.